This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for tuning in today. In just the recent past, Milwaukee has lost some iconic brand names. M&I Bank is no more, Midwest Airlines became Frontier, and then Frontier largely left town, and just this past month, Alterra Coffee became Colectivo. 5 years ago, the merger of Miller and Coors Beers into Miller Coors led many to worry that Miller might be another Milwaukee name that would soon be relegated to history books. But they are still brewing beer, a lot of beer, on Milwaukee's west side. Rich Rovito looks at the state of Miller and its joint venture with Coors in the August issue of Milwaukee Magazine. Nice to see you, Rich.
Thank you, Mitch. Great to be here.
You write, and I think we all remember this, that when the merger of Miller and Coors was announced and then the decision was made to locate the combined headquarters in Chicago, a lot of people worried that Miller's Milwaukee days might be numbered. What have the past 5 years shown in that regard?
There was a lot of consternation when they announced the formation of the joint venture and then the ultimate decision to locate the headquarters in Chicago. This was yet another blow to Milwaukee's psyche, losing one of the longtime corporate headquarters here. There were fears that over time, more and more jobs would be shifted to Chicago and that at least the administrative offices on the Milwaukee Miller Brewing campus would become kind of a ghost town. And it got that way for a little while. They went from about 975 employees down to about 600 in the first year or so of the JV as the jobs were shifting. The brewery has about 750 employees now. But over time, they've been filling jobs back in at the administrative offices. They've created a thing called the Miller Coors University, which is a training center. So at any one time, there's brewery workers and administrative people from around the various breweries around the country that are here in Milwaukee for training. There's this business transformation project, as they're labeling it, that's coming up, which is going to result in about another 240 people being here in Milwaukee over the next year or so. Some of these folks are going to be hired here in Milwaukee. A lot of them are coming from other operations where they're going to be based here in Milwaukee over an extended period of time. But that's going to get the campus bustling again for an extended period of time.
So it seems like a good word to use in this case might be evolution. There was some figuring of things out that had to happen.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, anytime you go through a joint venture or a merger, you're eliminating jobs. You don't need two CEOs, two CFOs. And that's where the cost savings come from when you do these kind of things. You eliminate redundancies and redundant jobs. So that process worked itself out, and there were fears that the last remaining old line brewery here in Milwaukee would go the way of Schlitz and Pabst, but it has not, and it's actually been somewhat thriving. The amount of beer being produced here at the Milwaukee campus is about a million barrels higher than it was at the start of the joint venture. A lot of that is because the brewery is brewing Coors-flagged products that were never brewed here before, like Coors Light. That's boosted business at the brewery.
Well, and let's talk about that because at the outset, there was trouble with the brewing Coors Light here. What happened?
There was. I'm no expert at this, but from what I've been told, it's a very, very fragile yeast strain. And at the low volumes that were initially being produced here in Milwaukee, that yeast strain was not functioning well. They had to boost the volume up and get differently configured fermenters and things along that line. And once that was figured out and production was boosted here in Milwaukee, I've been told that there's been no issues since that time. But initially, they were open and honest about the problems they had making Coors Light here in Milwaukee.
Now, has the transition happened in both senses? Is Miller being brewed in Colorado and all the other lines of Coors being brewed in Milwaukee?
Certain brands are being brewed at the humongous brewery in Golden, Colorado. I had a chance to go out there as part of this as well. They are brewing Miller Lite and some other products out there. That brewery has actually had more job cuts along the way because that was Coors' lone brewery at the time of the joint venture. So as they moved some of this production out to the other Miller brewing operations, employment dwindled there. So that brewing operation in Golden has not fared as well as it has here in Milwaukee.
What are the greatest challenges the combined company is looking at today?
Well, mainstream brewers like Miller Coors and Anheuser-Busch all face the challenge over the last decade of this shift toward craft beer. Consumers have gained more knowledge about beer, and it's almost become like a wine kind of thing where you go out and experiment with all these different kind of beers, chocolate oatmeal stout and whatever you got. And that's really cut into sales of mainstream mass-produced beers. It's been a huge challenge. And like you mentioned for Miller Coors, the challenge in trying to revitalize some of their brands, Miller Lite especially, that brand has seen a lot of woes over the last few years, rapidly declining sales.
Well, and what do we know about how and why those sales are declining? It is still, I think, the most popular beer in Wisconsin, right?
It is. And the problem, from what Tom Long, the CEO of Miller Coors, told me, they're really struggling to gain attention and traction with the millennials when it comes to light. Coors Light has had more success. A lot of that has come from the fact that Coors Light wasn't really available east of the Rockies for so long, so there was more fertile territory for growth. Although over the last two quarters, Miller Coors has seen decline in the volumes of Coors Light that are being sold as well. But it's an old brand. It was the first low calorie beer to hit the market. It's an elder beer, and it has a lot of problems in trying to revitalize and gain interest. They've tried all sorts of different ad campaigns. They've got a new ad campaign that's turning back to some maybe B-list celebrities, if you want, like Ken Jeong from the Hangover series and Chuck Liddell, a mixed martial arts legend. Musician Questlove. They said they didn't want to go like Anheuser-Busch had turned to Justin Timberlake. They went bigger as far as the star power goes, but they wanted to get back into some of the usage of celebrities like they did with the famous Great Taste, Less Filling campaigns.
The old John Madden.
Yes. Yep. And Bob Uecker, right. And all those guys that were around for that iconic campaign. They're trying everything they can to boost interest in this brand. Some of the experts I talked to said another challenge here is that you've now got three major low-calorie beers in the same house. You've got Coors Light, Miller Lite, and Miller 64. Seemingly, they would all appeal to the same consumer base, although Miller Coors is telling me that's not necessarily the case. They're marketed differently. Coors Light's marketed on the cold factor and the fact that it's the silver bullet. It has a little more imagery behind it.
They've rolled out a new bottle for Miller Lite, right? That's
yes.
Supposed to appeal to younger drinkers.
Yep. And you know, some folks have dismissed this as gimmicky and saying that it's just a somewhat desperate act to try to boost sales, but that seems to attract attention. I mean, these new bottles are kind of like broad shoulders, narrow waist bottles. They look kind of neat, and I think it draws attention when you're out at a bar or restaurant. Whether that has any staying power, I guess your guess is as good as mine, but that's another effort that they're trying to use to boost sales of Miller Lite.
You mentioned the exponential growth in craft beers. How much of the loss in sales in areas like light beer, like Miller Lite and Coors Light, is being recouped by the combined Miller Coors ventures into the craft beer market?
Some of it has. One of the shrewd moves here, and what Tom Long had told me was maybe their best move as part of this joint venture so far, has been the formation of what they call 10th and Blake. It's the taking the 10th Street, named after the 10th Street Brewery here in downtown Milwaukee, and Blake Street in downtown Denver, where the Blue Moon Brewery is situated.
And 10th Street is where Leinenkugel is made, right?
Correct. Yes, here in downtown Milwaukee. They've had a great deal of success. There's this ridiculous growth that Blue Moon has seen over the last this is not a new beer. This beer has been out for a long time, but the popularity of Blue Moon just seems to continue to grow. They've got different offshoots of the mainstream Blue Moon Belgian White Ale that they've been experimenting with in strong growth there. And Leinenkugel's seen a lot of strong growth, too, with the Summer Shandy brand. So that they've definitely been recouping some of the losses that they've experienced with Miller Lite and now Coors Light. It's been a good venture. And the guy running that, Tom Cardella, is based here. He's the highest-ranking executive here in the Milwaukee market. So although Tom Long is based in Chicago, he still lives here in the Milwaukee area. Tom Cardella lives and works here in Milwaukee. So that's a boost for the Milwaukee operations as well.
Well, and to go back to that initial area we were talking about, the idea of the potential loss of Miller and its Milwaukee identity, do you get the sense that 5 years into this, and regardless of where it's brewed, is Miller still seen as a Milwaukee beer and Coors as a Colorado product?
I think that's changing to some old schoolers, probably. I think if you go into a bar and somebody's drinking a Miller High Life, that screams Milwaukee. And if you're out in Colorado and somebody's holding a Silver Bullet can and drinking a Coors Light, I think that says something about it. The ballpark here is still Miller Park. The ballpark in downtown Denver is still Coors Field. But I think you know, there's been a huge growth of Coors Light in the Milwaukee market. You see a lot more advertising at the Bradley Center and other places that were once strongholds for Miller-branded beers. So I think there's, you know, 5 years in, I guess that's not a really long time when you think about the brewery's been around for 150-some-odd years here in Milwaukee. It's going to take some time to change that among all consumers, but I think that there's been a shift for sure.
Thanks a lot, Rich.
Thank you, Mitch.
Rich Rovito's article, The Brew Cruise, about Miller Coors, is in the August issue of Milwaukee Magazine. You can read it by following the link at wuwm.com/likeeffect. How there is more political theory in popular culture than you might realize, we'll start with The Simpsons when Like Effect returns on WUWM.